Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. You are alive and well, and you have all things under your control. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister, Father, in a way that only you can. And God, we know that all of us have struggles, but we know, God, that we're not going through these struggles without you. You got us, and we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it all. And the church said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. On the way down, tell somebody the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. I read a story that actually, it seems it was a joke, but it's not necessarily a joke. It's so true. And so I wanted to share it with you. A young couple moves into a new neighborhood. The next morning, while they were eating breakfast, the young woman sees her neighbor hanging the wash outside. And she said, that laundry is not very clean, she said. She must not know how to wash correctly. Perhaps she needs a better laundry soap. Her husband looked on but remained silent. Every time her neighbor would hang out wash to dry, the young woman would make the same comments. About a month later, the woman was surprised to see such a nice clean wash on the line and said to her husband, look, she has learned how to wash correctly. I wonder who taught her this. The husband said, I got up early this morning and cleaned our windows. Yeah, woo! Ah, somebody say that. Somebody, y'all, one time we go, one, two, three, ouch. Ready? One, two, three, ouch! God's so good to us. Ooh, I forgot my remote control. I got so happy singing a while ago. Ah, where'd it go? There it is. Praise God. There she goes. About to mess up. All right. Ready to just get past I surrender all. Here we go. Now remember, starting next week, we're going to start recovery. So the 12 steps may not necessarily start exactly next week, but recovery is going to start next week, and it's going to be the build up for the 12 steps. So let's start with a build up and work our way to the 12 steps. So next week is the build up, and the 12 steps start afterwards. So there's probably about four sermons, but it's very needed for this time. And again, you ain't got to raise your hands, but have you ever been abused? Ever been spiritually, mentally, physically abused? Have you ever actually abused yourself? As in things you shouldn't have been doing that was hurting you and you kept on doing them. Have you ever felt bad about yourself and didn't think you could worth anything? The 12 steps are for you. So this is just not about, it's not about somebody with substance abuse, although that's where it started. It's for the entire church, for our entire life, and I live these 12 steps. And there's been things in my life that I was having problems with, and so I started doing the 12-step program, and God helped me with it. And so instead of just keeping all that joy to myself, I thought, well, God tapped me on the shoulder and said, you need to spread the joy, son. So I'm going to spread the joy. And so we're going to have a good time. So we're talking about rebuilding your focus, part two, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Now, this isn't all the stuff from last week. We're just a few things from last week to get us up to this week. Rebuilding your focus. Let me just stop right there. Let me ask you a question. You ain't got to raise your hand. You ain't got to say anything. But I want you to think about this, and I want you to get these questions inside your spirit. I'm getting ready to ask you. Number one, what are you focusing on mostly every day of your life? What you focus on? How you messed up? How you're not good enough? How you'll never get over that hurdle? How things are too hard? How things are too bad? I hear all the time, does God even love me when I'm counseling? Does God even love me? Why does he allow me to get through so much stuff? And we get working around, and I find out some of the stuff they bring on their self. So, still, does God love me? Now, next question. Not only what are you focusing on, number two is, what are your goals? What's your life goals? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Whatever, you're saying, I got these goals, but I can't seem to get to them. I'll tell you why. One of the biggest reasons why we can't reach our goals is because we're too busy focusing on the wrong things. And because whatever we're focusing on, whatever it is we focus on, I mean really, really, really focus on, is what's going to be driving our goals. So, with that thought in mind, just rebuilding that focus and getting your focus in the right area and getting it in the right position. Did DC leave, Brandon? I need y'all to know this. DC has a dog he's had for a lot of years, very dear to his family. You know how dogs are and cats. They're dear to your family. Well, he got a message this morning. He's hating to. It's that German, short-haired German retriever that was so awesome that dog today is paralyzed. And it's coming to a time where he's got to be put down and he's in pain. And so I thank DC and I praise God that he could go through all this today, praise and worship. But he's gone home to take care of that dog. And so pray for him, because it might be the second dog he's had to put down in a matter of weeks. Plus his daughter left the house and took her dog. So he's had a whole lot of loss. So please be praying for him. He might not appreciate me saying all that, but if he don't, he can get a refund on what I said. Amen. Everybody needs prayer. Amen. We all have loss in our lives. So, our focus should start on God and his word. Where you do anything else, don't focus on your problems. Focus on God's word. Not only focus on God's word, but focus on God's ability. Is anything too hard for God? And focus on God's mission. When Peter walked on the water, when the boat hit the water, the mission was to go to the other side. That was the mission, go to the other side. But the storm came, and they're fighting so hard to fulfill God's mission, but it seems like no matter how hard they fight, it doesn't get any easier. It gets harder. So as they're trying to fight this thing, Peter sees Jesus. All of them see Jesus walking on the water, and they said, it's a spirit. And Peter said, if it be you, Lord, bid me come. And he said, come. So now Peter, on a divine mission to get to the other side, all the obstacles that he was focused on was causing him to be stuck. And he got his mind on God's word. So he didn't just walk on the water. He walked on God's word. God's word said, come. If some of y'all could learn to walk on God's word, Lord have mercy, you would do a whole lot more water walking. Amen? So, he walked on God's word, and he trusted God's ability. But when he started getting his focus off of the word and his ability, he began to sink. So this is so important that we get our focus right, but especially next week when we start this 12-step program, we need to get our focus right and get it on God's word. Remember? So here we go. Ready? Distraction. One of Satan's chief tools is distraction. Even substance abuse is a form of distraction. When you begin to talk yourself down and keep yourself down, that's a distraction from the enemy. When you want to argue and fuss with your spouse all the time over piddly mess, that arguing is a distraction. Satan is a master of distraction. So now, whether it is a habit, whether it's an activity, whether it's an action, if it is keeping you from the mission, it's a distraction. And Satan is the greatest of all of distraction. So today, we want zero distraction. Right here, get your mind on what you're doing. DC's been getting on me a lot lately, and he was talking about all the things that were going on, and we were talking about, you know, it's possibly having to put his dog down today. Oh, God, it broke my heart because I've just had to do the same thing, and if you've ever had to do it, you know how bad it is. And this dog has been part of his family. But I said, but then DC said, but I got to keep my mind on what we're doing right now. And, of course, you could tell he definitely kept his mind on what he was doing. Distractions. Today, right now, if you're not careful while I'm talking to you, your mind could be at McDonald's. Your mind can be at Food Line. Your mind can be on all kinds of things that you're trying to figure out. What am I going to do next week? My job, my family. And I dare you to fight Satan, number one, by not being distracted today. Keeping in line with what's going on. You know why? Here's what Satan does with distraction. First, it's a subtle tool. Why is it a subtle tool? It's because it sneaks up so soft and is so unnoticeable. You're going along, you got your mind on what you're doing, you got your focus set, and that distraction comes along, and before you know it, you're doing something else. Before you know it, your mind's off the mission. Before you know it, you got your mind off in space somewhere, because Satan knows with that little subtle tool that if he can get you distracted, he got you. Now, this is a subtle tool. It's a deceptive tool. It makes you feel effective temporarily. That deceit, whatever he's got going on, it's all temporary. Even if you win, it's only temporary. He's won because he has got you distracted. Number three, it is a patient tool. It's like a trap waiting to be sprung. He can wait. He can wait. He can wait. He can wait. You know, we had a writing spider out in the front yard. We watching that writing spider. And I watched these June bugs come by. And that spider just stay right there. And the June bugs would come hitting that web. They look like a bunch of migs. First, come on, a couple of their buddies got hit in that web. And so the spider went over and spun a web around one of the June bugs and spun a web around the other June bugs. And the other ones came in to help it. And they're flying around like migs trying to get to that spider. And that spider just sitting there watching them. And they would try to get one loose. And while they're trying to get one loose, they would get caught. It was amazing to watch. And the thing got so big, Linda said, I think we're going to leave the spider alone because they are kind of pretty. And, you know, we named it a name, Charlotte. Remember Charlotte's Web? Okay. And then Linda said, we're going to have to move Charlotte because she's getting too big. And so I went and got a stick. And I went around the web and picked up the web. And she got on the stick. And I was going to take her real daintily and take her over there. But she started climbing the stick to my hand. And so very quickly, I found a bush. And I did a David and Goliath. And another spider got there. And they're so good at it because they just sit there and wait. Because its victims don't see the web. How many times have you been caught up and you didn't even see the trap? So, he's patient. Not only is he patient, it's a cooling tool. Because when you get distracted, it cools you down. You know, when I was a basketball coach, if the team were playing, made two unanswered scores, just 4 points. If they made 4 points, I'd call the guys in. I'd say either a timeout or just call them in and say, all right, that's four. We don't want six. And if they got six, I'd call a timeout. Now, why would I call a timeout? I wanted to cool down the other team. Satan loves to cool you down. You get going, you get excited, you get fun, you're thinking, oh, this is awesome. It cools you down, it keeps you down, and it prevents you from getting hot and effective. So that's what's going on. That's Satan's tool, chief tool, of distraction. So now, let's just remember this from last week. Focus has unlimited value. He don't want you to, understand the potential of your focus, or the power of your focus, or the position of your focus. So here's the 10 things. We did 5 last week, so real quick, I'm just going to go through the first 5, then we're going to the next. Here it goes. Get ready. Number 1, He called you. It wasn't to get you this place, so He could drop you. So Philippians 1:6, He had begun a good work in you. He's going to continue it. Number 2, he will build a church, not us. And He says, I tell you, Peter, that upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Number 3, He did not promise to deliver you from the fire, but He promised to walk through the fire with you. And number 4, there's more in store for you in your life ministry. Don't think because you've messed up, that's it. Okay? That's not the end. And number 5, get ready. Number 5, when we obey the voice of God, we are unstoppable. If you persevere, because God's word will not return to Him void. Now let's go ahead and go to number 6. Y'all ready to go to number 6? Somebody said, let down the plow, Pastor. Let it down. Somebody say it. All right. Number 6. Have courage, be strong, don't back down, and don't give in to Satan or his plan. You got to stand. This is one of the most confusing verses when I was a young Christian, because it didn't make sense. And so I started learning how to look up the Greek and the Hebrew. Then it made a lot of sense. And I'm going to read it to you from some different versions here, too. So let me go and get it up here so we can see it. Let's see. It'll be, here it is. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. There we go. Ready? Watch ye. Watch ye. You mean look in the mirror? Watch ye. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit, you like men. I know a lot of men that quit. Is that what he's trying to tell me to do? Stop. Be strong. Didn't make sense. So as I began to study it in the Greek, it means be on guard. Stand true to what you believe. Be courageous. Be strong. Another translation says, be alert and on your guard. Stand firm in your faith, your conviction, and keeping the trust and holy fervor born of faith and part of it. Act like men and be courageous. Grow in strength. So let's go ahead and break this down. Watch ye, be on guard. Satan desires to attack you. Be on guard. He's watching. Get ready. Sometimes he uses your enemy to attack you. Sometimes he uses your friends. Sometimes he uses your loved ones. And sometimes he even uses church members. Wow. Is that a negative? Is that saying everybody's meek? Nah, not at all. Didn't Peter, when Jesus said that they're going to take me and kill me, they're going to take me and do harm to me, and he said, not you, God. No, not you. And he looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Was he talking about Peter with Satan? No. But that doubt that Peter was speaking, the author was Satan. In Peter's mind, the author was love. But in God's mind, the author was Satan, because it brought doubt and it brought distraction. So be careful how you encourage people. And you pray about it when you encourage them, and make sure that whatever you do to encourage somebody lines up with the word. Because it's so easy to get somebody thrown off balance and distracted by giving them the wrong information. So it's very important. So watch ye, be on guard, stand fast in the faith, persevere, do not deviate in trust. Quit you like men means to act in a manner or in a mature manner, not easily tossed. And then be strong. Be strong in the Lord. I've done 2 funerals in the last 2 weeks. And the number one question I ask, you know, before a funeral, we take the family back in the viewing room or wherever they're at. Usually, I've been in 2 different funeral homes and they have 2 different viewing rooms, but they always take the family back in the viewing rooms. And I pray with them before we come out. And the very question I ask everybody, especially these last 2 funerals, was I just stopped and everybody's looking at me. And I said, how many in here today say I've got to be strong for my family? Hands go up everywhere. And I tell them, put your hands down. Don't believe it. You don't have to be strong. Put your hands down. I want you to repeat after me. Lord, be strong in me. Now I'm not doing it on my own. I got God helping me. So every morning when you get up, you know, me and Eddie were joking this morning. And I said, Eddie, you're looking kind of rough this morning. And he said, some mornings you get up and say, good morning, Lord. And some mornings you wake up and go, good Lord, it's morning. And he said, this morning was a good Lord this morning. I said, okay. When you get up, you go ahead and start talking to God and asking him for his strength to make it through the day and his wisdom. So number 6, have courage. Number 7, get ready. This is tough and it's lovely. This is beautiful. Ready, this is about as beautiful as it can get. He didn't call you because of your greatness. Whoop! Somebody go, whoop! That's right. He didn't call you because you were great. He's still great, even at times that you feel that you're not. I don't feel great all the time. I promise you, I don't feel great all the time. Matter of fact, you hear me say it all the time. I have discovered that the older I get, the better I was. But he didn't call you because of your greatness. He called you because of his greatness, and he wants to use you. So here we go again, and we're going to go through these scriptures. Let me go ahead and look it up so we can get ready to go with this. God is so good, and I thank him so much. He is so wonderful to us, and it's just amazing what he does for us. And I refuse to let Satan beat me up and tell me I'm a nobody and I'm a nothing, because you know what? I am a child of God. How many here, you're a child of God? Amen. Guess what? We cannot be defeated. And we will not be denied. Amen. So, here goes. 1 Corinthians. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Since God in his mercy has given us this wonderful ministry, we never give up. In the book of Judges, and I'm going to preach this one day soon, one of the military guys, his grip was so strong. And they found out when they went on the battlefields that sometimes they could not take the swords out of the soldiers' hands because they wouldn't release the grip in battle. And they were so determined to fight that even in death, they had a grip on that sword. I told my boys when they were smaller, and some of the people in our church were dying, and they said, Daddy, what are we going to do if that's you in intensive care? And I told them both, I said, boys, they weren't like little bitty things. I said, let me tell you something. If I'm in intensive care and doctor's telling you it's looking mighty, mighty bad, I said, DC, I want you on one side. Daniel wants you on the other side. And I want you to hold my hands up. And I want you to say, God, my daddy might not can talk now, but my daddy believes in you with all his heart. And my daddy knows you got the power to raise him up. And I'm thanking you now for raising up my daddy in the name of Jesus Christ. God's got this. We ain't got to give up. God's got this. Somebody look. Somebody shout, he is great. All right. So now, number seven, or the next one, here we go. But we had this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let's look at verse 7 here. But this precious treasure, the light and power that now shines within us, is held in perishable containers, that is, our weak bodies, so that everyone can see that our glorious power is from God and is not our own. How many know, why does Jesus say you can't hide a light under a bushel? You don't hide your light under a bushel. What it's saying is you don't take a bushel basket or you don't take a pot and you don't put the light in there and cover it up because nobody can see it. And so if you got your pot and it's pristine, guess what? Nobody can see his light. But when that pot's been cracked from use and abuse, and I don't know about you, but I got a lot of cracks in my pot. That's where God's light shines out, in all my cracks. All my bad things, all the things I've been through, it's through all those hard things, that's where God's light shines through. So now, here it is. As a shepherd boy, or ask that shepherd boy that stood over mighty Goliath, ask that prisoner as he stood and became prime minister of Egypt. Wow. Number 8, I'm getting close to the end. Getting knocked down in life is given. Getting up and moving forward is a choice. Wow. Ready? The problem you got now is not going to destroy you. Y'all shout, I'm going to make it. Shout it again, I'm going to make it. Now look at somebody and say, you win. Look back at him and say, you win too. All right. Ready? Here we go. Oop, back up. I got ahead of myself. Come on. Back up there, buddy. There you are. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, we are hedged in, pressed on every side. This is the Amplified Version. Troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed, for we suffer embarrassments and are not perplexed and unable to find a way out, not driven to despair. We are pursued, persecuted, and hard-driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. God's got this. Somebody say, God's got this. Amen. That's good. Number 9. I'm trying to go and get you through this. He made you unique for a reason. You matter. You have a purpose, a kingdom purpose that only you can fulfill. Did you know there's some people only you can talk to? There are some people who won't listen to me, but they'll listen to you. There's some people who won't even listen to anybody else but you. It's important that you hang in there. So, number 9. Here's a biggie. Oh God, here's a biggie. I'm going to let y'all read that. Somebody read that out loud. I'm glad you said that, bro. That's good. Stop comparing yourself to others, to everybody else. Everybody has a unique gift. Everybody's now, y'all guys are awesome. Every last one of you are awesome. And I cherish our friendship and our familyship, and I cherish your gifts. I do, because y'all do things that I watch people, I go, how in the world do they do that? You know, because you have unique gifts, but I don't compare myself to you. You see, the same God who called and empowered them did the same for you. Because what I found out is There was somebody at work. I kept going, man, I wish I could be like him. Man, I wish I could be like him. Man, he can do this, 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 that. Man, I wish I could be like him. And then something else broke down. I'm over working on that. And he came over to me and said, man, I wish I was like you. Man, I wish I knew how to do that stuff like you do it. And I'm thinking, dude, I just said the same thing about you. But it's because we're the body of Christ and everybody's different. And we make up the body. All right. So now, get ready. Somebody say, I'm unique. That makes you think about this really, 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 really bad dad joke, bad Eddie joke. Do you know how you catch a unique bird? Unique up on it. Do you know how you catch a tame bird? The tame way. That's to you, Eddie. Raise your hand, bro. That was a good. All right. Now I forgot where I was at. Here you go. Here it is. And actually, this is where we're starting next week, right here. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Psalm 139, verse 14, New Living Translation. For he who motivated and fitted Peter and worked effectively through him for the mission to the circumcised, motivated and fitted me and worked through me for the mission to the Gentiles. That's Paul talking in Galatians. He fitted us and he motivated us to do what he's called us to do. Nobody in this place has the same talent. We got certain talents that are similar, but nobody's got the same talent. Amen? It's important that we all meet at the table and we all try to figure these things out. All right, number 10. I'm getting ready to close. Here it goes. Stop praying for protection only. That's defense. Stop praying for protection only. Pray for boldness. Go on the offense. Stand strong. Acts 29:31. And now, Lord, observe their threats and grant to your bondservants full freedom to declare your message fearlessly while you stretch out your hand to cure and perform signs and wonders through the authority and the power of the name of your holy child and servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with freedom, with boldness, and with courage. Wow. You have to keep your focus through the pain to get to the gain. Sounds kind of cheesy, but it's not. You have to keep your focus through your pain to get to your gain. What I discovered, I studied this in psychology, and y'all probably already know this anyway, and I've probably said it before. The three biggest drains on our psyche is the death of a parent, the death of a spouse, and the death of a child. That's the three biggies. And if you've never experienced any one of the three, when you finally experience one of them, you'll understand. When my mama died, I was crushed. She was my faith buddy. We stood strong together many a time in spiritual battle. And when she died, like I said, I was crushed. But as I got my mind off of her death and knew that she was a God and she was safe, I discovered something. Listen carefully. Please listen carefully. Her death gave me wings. My ministry totally changed. Totally changed. And instead of stopping me, he gave me wings. When I lost my wife in 91, wow, what I discovered was her death raised up those wings and made them stronger. And my ministry changed. And then when my daughter died, the worst of all, the worst pain of all, my wings grew tremendously. It's hard to understand. If you haven't been through it, you won't till it happens. But instead of writhing around and wallowing in the pain, you stand up on that mount and let those wings grow. Because deep tragedy, once you survive it, gives you wings. And starting next week, we're going to talk about that. And I hope by the time we get through the 12-step program, your wings are going to be so, so full. And you're going to find yourself flying and doing something, Lord, that you had no idea that you're even able to do. Don't focus on your problems. Don't focus on the pain or your panic. Focus on, instead, the promise and the power, and you will find peace. That's what we had last week. I want to put it right back there because you can't say it any better. Up top, takes you out of the knees. Down below, you focus on the promise, the power, the peace, gives you wings. Here's our for this week. Brandon, come on up and get ready to play something, bro. This week's challenge, same as last week's, because this is all part together. I really want you to think about this. Is make a conscious effort to examine your focus. Expect distractions. And when you see these distractions, you eliminate the unnecessary distractions. Examine your focus again and expect God to use you. This morning's mighty army was very, very, very powerful. This morning's mighty army. Let's see here. Let's get it up where I can see it. Mighty army. Today, I want to challenge you to be peaceful, joyful, caring, selfless, responsible, hopeful, loving, kind, and strong. Do you accept my challenge? Wow. As you hone in your focus like never before, you watch God use you like never before. And of course, here it is, focus. Follow one course unto success. Everybody stand up. God's got this. With every head bowed, every eye closed. First question that I want to ask is, how are you and God? Has your focus on Him been broken so much that you're really not sure where you stand with Him? When nobody looking around, nobody's looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed, if you'd be honest and say, my focus has been hit hard and I'm not sure where I stand with God, or I need some help with where I stand with God. Nobody looking around. Just put that hand up just so I can pray for you. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. Maybe your focus has shifted and the mission has been hurt by it. You got distracted. And the mission suffered. And you're ready to move beyond distractions. And you're ready to see God do something special in your life. And you're ready to get past the distractions and see God move. I'm talking to you right now. Nobody looking around. Would you put that hand up and say, that's me. I'm ready to get past the distractions. Get past them. Get past them. Get past them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. Help them see the distractions and help them move past the distractions. And we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Let's all pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. For if it weren't for that, we'd already be consumed. We ask you, God, to help us to look past our distractions and the confusion that it causes. Help us to keep our mind on the mission and you, and keep our focus on the cross and know that we are able to be more than conquerors through you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, 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 amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is awesome all the time. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. Let me ask Brother Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.